To take away from this fast, both through a very quick discussion about why we fast today all together, and I don't mean historically, but I do mean why do we fast, and but more sort of more in-depth look at the Parsha and how it connects to the message of the fast, and like I said, the Rosh Hashem. Hopefully something practical to take with us at the end. Why are we fasting today? Yes, so historically, of course, the beginning of the siege around Yerushalayim, the 2.5-year-long siege began at the time of the Babylonian conquest. Yes. Okay, so that's nice. I mean, it really wasn't nice. I'm saying that was a historical event. Why am I fasting? Asma. That was the beginning of Galut. Interesting. So is this week's Parsha, the beginning of Galut. We'll come back to that. So why can't I have breakfast or lunch? Ma Kesher. Why do we fast on a fast day? Cheshbon HaNefesh? Okay. No food? Yes, Cheshbon HaNefesh. Ma Kesher? Okay, so you make a statement. I don't think it's so much focus. Truthfully, I don't know about you, but when I can't eat, I think more about food than not about food, right? So it's sometimes it's counterintuitive. But I think, you know, what you're trying to say is that it's a sort of message. It's a statement that I am making today. I'm not worried about the gashmios, right? Today I'm not worried about my needs and my food needs, etc. I am more concerned with my spiritual needs. I'm going to take a good hard look at my spiritual self. Is that what you meant to say? It was.
Yeah.
Where does the halakha of fasting come from? How do we know we have to fast today? The four minor fasts are alluded to in Sefer Yechezkel. That is true. Not necessarily in terms of Tzom per se. Okay? With the Rambam. Hilchos. That's correct, which you have right in front of you. Hilchot Aniyot. There is one mitzvah aseh when there are times of national tragedy. And that mitzvah is, when the Rambam says there's mitzvah achat, what kind of mitzvah is he talking about? Okay, but I'm saying he's categorically he's talking about a mitzvah midoraisa. That's what's listed on top. And what is that mitzvah? Litzok lifnei Hashem b'chol eit tzara gedola shelo tavoa tzibur. When there is any sort of impending national tragedy, there is one mitzvah d'oraisa, and that is to call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here the mitzvah is explained in Halacha Aleph, mitzvah taseh min HaTorah lizog ulahariya b'chatzotzrot al kol tzara shetavo latzibur. Sheneemar al tzar hatzorer etchem v'arayotem chatzotzrot. So what is the mitzvah? To call out HaKadosh Baruch Hu again in times Chas V'Shalom of national tragedy. Halacha Bet V'Davar Zeh Midarkei Hatshuva Hu. Why do we do this? Why do we call out HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because it is part, says the Rambam, of the process of tshuva. I'm not calling out HaKadosh Baruch Hu because I need to exercise my vocal cords. I'm not calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even, by the way, necessarily because I'm afraid. I am calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because this is part and parcel of the process of tshuva. Meaning, says the Rambam, what's the Rambam implying? Why is there national tragedy occurring? Something went amiss somewhere. We, as a nation, did something wrong, and therefore The tragedy is upon us, and therefore, what are we required to do? To engage in this process of tshuva. Shebizman shetavot zara, vizaku aleha viyariyu, yedu hakol, shebiglal ma'aseyem haraim, hura lehem. If we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it will become entirely obvious that it was because of us. It is our own fault that we have brought this national tragedy upon us. And continues the Rambam in Halacha Gimel, avalim lo yizaku v'lo yariyu. However, if we do not call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we do not blow the chatzotzros during times of natural tragedy, what will we come to say? Ela yomru, davar ze mimin haga olam, eira lanu v'tzara lanu, nikro nikreit. If we don't specifically go out of our way and call out HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this time, what are we going to come to think? This was a natural occurrence. Whatever happened to us didn't happen to us because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it happen to us. It happened to us because kacha ze ba'olam. Bad things happen to people. And so bad things happen to us as a nation, not necessarily because we deserved it, but because stam kacha. Bad things happen in the world. And of course, that is the antithesis of the process of tshuva, is not understanding and not recognizing that that which occurs to us because it's supposed to happen to us, because it is divinely inspired, etc. So again, what is this whole process about? Tshuva. The whole process of calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu during times of national tragedy is in order for us to recognize that we have ma'asim ra'im that we need to fix, and to begin the process of fixing those things. And in Halacha Dalet, the add-on, shall we say, from Divrei Sofrim, the category of mitzvot in Divrei Sofrim, according to the Rambam, is unclear if that's actually Derabanan. It's certainly not Doraisa. There's a machlokas if it's one notch above Derabanan or if it's simply a Derabanan. Simply a Derabanan. Umi divrei sofrim lihit anot al kol tzara. Shetavo al tzibur ad sheyiruchamu min hashamayim. Why do we fast on days of national tragedy? For this very same reason that we call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, Chazal found it fitting to extend this idea of calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to also include fasting, once again, in times of national tragedy. For what purpose? Once again, for the sake of the process of engaging in tshuva. For the sake of being mifashfesh b'ma'aseinu, for the sake of checking into our own deeds. Again, in this very case that the Rambam is presenting, and he's specifically referring to nationally, we as the Jewish people need to check and see what are we doing that is bringing upon us national tragedy, and that is why midoraisa we're chayav to call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and midivrei sofrim we are chayav to fast. Okay? Yes? Anyone awake out there?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Keeping that in mind, and I think that is to be kept in mind. I know many people are inclined to sleep during fasts. I know it makes sort of physical sense. It doesn't make very much spiritual sense to sleep off a fast. If the purpose of a fast is to be mefashvish ma'aseinu, then I'm not sure sleeping really accomplishes spiritual growth. But that's just a sidebar point. What I want to do now, really, and I hope all of us will take the opportunity today, at least at some point, to be mefashvesh b'maaseinu, but I want to, in a certain sense, be mefashvesh in the maasim, or perhaps I can say in the life of Yaakov Avinu, whose sort of center stage performance comes to an end, Bezrat Hashem, in this week's parsha. And I'd like to sort of take apart, to a certain extent, a specific pattern in Yaakov Avinu's life and see, again, sort of what we can take from that element of Yaakov Avinu's life and specifically how it's relevant to the tshuva process, perhaps making ourselves better people, and how we can sort of put that into our lives as obviously the very direct descendants of Yaakov Avinu. What do we know about Yaakov?
That's a broad question.
What do we know about Yaakov Avinu's life? It was very difficult. Yes? What made it so difficult? What was difficult about it?
He lost a lot of
money. Okay. Definitely went through a lot of his own personal tragedies. Okay. How would you describe, if this is possible, how would you describe Yaakov's personality?
Resilient.
Who just said that? Where are you? There you are, Jessica. Resilient. You want to say resilient because? Okay, you're saying someone who suffered so much has to be resilient,
yeah.
Right? Okay, what else? No one? Nothing to say about Yaakov. Of all the avot, who do we know best? Yaakov Avinu, for sure. Who do we know least? Yitzchak, right? We know Yaakov Avinu so well. We have nothing to say about him? Nothing? Yaakov Avinu, active or passive? Okay. Let's go backwards. Avram Avinu, active or passive? By the way, passive is not necessarily bad. Just want to point that out. Active. Avram Avinu is active, right? He is the go-getter. He is the converter of the masses. He is the spreader of monotheism. Okay. Yitzchak?
Passive.
Why do I make Yitzchak passive? Okay. Well, what we do know, what we don't know, or what we assume from what we don't know, is that he very much continued in the path of his own predecessor, meaning in the path of his father. Okay? There's a tremendous strength. That's why Yitzchak is known for what midah?
Gvura.
Okay? That's a discussion for another time. And Yaakov Avinu is more like Yitzchak or more like Avram? What? Okay, you want to say he's both? How are you active and passive at the same time?
You're following the way of your father's
Okay. Okay. You're actually very much on to something. Active and passive at the same time. Let's see if we can figure that out. Yaakov Avinu moves around a lot in his lifetime. Yes or no?
Yes,
he does. He certainly goes from place to place. What causes him to do so?
People are trying to kill him.
Okay. People are trying to kill him. That's not so fun. Just trying to think how to get this out. All right, here we go. Is this not working? Can you see? All right. So, let's start with not from all the way from the beginning. Yaakov's first run. Yaakov's always running. You ever notice that? Yaakov's always on the run. Does he want to be on the run or does he not want to be on the run?
Probably doesn't want to be.
Meaning there's always something that causes Yaakov Avinu to run. There is always something going on. It's a great drama, right? There's always something going on that causes Yaakov to move. For example, the first time Yaakov is on the run is when? Esav wants to kill him. And therefore, where does he run to? He runs to the house of Lavan. And if you take a look, everybody, crack it open. Thank you very much. Crack open your Tanakh. We're going to go backwards before we go forwards. And go back to, I believe it's Perek Lamed. No, Chav. Perek Chav Zayin. Yes, the very end of Perek of Zion. This is after, of course, Yaakov has procured the bracha that Esav very much wanted from Yitzchak. And Esav says to himself in Pasuk Mem Aleph, Vayom Esav bilibo yukrevu yimei ev lavi va'araga et Yaakov achi. Vayugad Rivka et Yivrei Esav bina hagadol, vatishlach vatikra li Yaakov bina hakatan vatomre ilav. Hine Esav achicha bilachem lecha lahargecha. Vata bini shma bekoli vekum brach lecha el lavan achi charana. Vyashavti imo yamim achadim al asher teshuv chamat achicha. So, Yaakov has to run away. Why does he run away? Again, because... Okay, so first, I don't know why I did this. I'm writing in English, and yet I'm going right to left. Sorry. That whole thing. Okay. So, so he runs to the house of Lavan because Esav wants to kill him. What happens next? Well, we all know what happens next. Yaakov Avinu stays in the house of Haran first for the first 7 years, gets tricked into marrying Leah, stays for another 7 years, and finally marries Rachel. And what makes Yaakov Avinu move along? When does he decide to leave the house of Lavan?
What was
that? Okay, hold that, Abigail. Not yet. You're right. Okay, not that his children didn't like them as much as he used to. Take a look. The beginning of Perek Lamed Aleph. Again, we have to skip ahead because Yaakov gets, quote-unquote, stuck in the house of Lavan. This was after the shepherds, right, of Lavan. Possibly the children of Lavan have a big fight with the shepherds, most likely the children of Yaakov Avinu. And the very beginning of Perek Lamed Aleph, Vayishma et Yivrei b'nei Lavan le'mor. Lakach Yaakov et kol asher l'avinu. Umei asher l'avinu asa et kol hakavod hazeh. The only reason why Yaakov Avinu has become rich is because of our father, because of the riches of Lavan. Vayar Yaakov et pnei Lavan v'hinei einenu imo kitmol shilshon. What does Yaakov realize? Whoa, things over here are not what they used to be. And therefore, I gotta get out of here. Right? Yaakov realizes that he's no longer welcome in the house of Lavan, and so now he is running from Lavan, right? Of course, he's really also running to Eretz Yisrael. And why is he running? Because he sees that he is no longer welcome in the house of Lavan. Vihine einenu imo kitmol shilshon. Where does Yaakov Avinu end up next? Skip ahead. Of course, then there is yet another, shall we say, difficult period in Yaakov's life where he has to re-encounter Esav. I'm not putting it up here on the chart because it's not an actual physical location that Yaakov went to, but certainly we can add it to the list of difficulties in Yaakov's life. And then, of course, we come to Perek Lamed Daled, and what occurs in Perek Lamed Daled in the city of Shechem. So we know, of course, that Dinah is raped in Perek Lamed Daled. And once again, what happens next? At the very end of Perek Lamed Daled, or really the very beginning of Perek Lamed Hey. Skip the fact, we will come to it in 1 second, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and tells him to go. But from the story itself, where is or what is Yaakov running from? Why is he running from Shechem? Because what was Yaakov Avinu afraid of? Right? That after Shimon and Levi wiped out the entire city, that all of the neighboring friends, or lack of friends, would come and take revenge on Yaakov and his family. Yes? So, next, Yaakov has to run from Shechem. Again, it doesn't say exactly why in the Sukkim, I do have to admit that. But that seems to be...
Right, very clearly today.
That seems to be because, meaning it's very much obvious. He's running out of fear. From Shechem, or the whoever's left in there. And, of course, the neighboring cities. What occurs next? Of course, all of the brothers. Famine comes, the brothers go down to Mitzrayim. It is revealed that Yosef is alive. That takes many, many pukim. And we'll skip now all the way ahead to Perek Mem Hei. Where is Yaakov Avinu's final destination? Where does he go to last? He goes to Mitzrayim, right? To see Yosef. The Torah itself actually gives us two sort of practical reasons that bring Yaakov Avinu down to Mitzrayim. Perek Mem Hei, Pasuk Tet, let's say. This is Yosef after he reveals his identity to his brothers. V'atalo atem shalachtem oti, perhaps one of the most dramatic psukim in Tanakh, where Yosef sort of absolves all of his brothers from any guilt, and he makes the proclamation that he didn't get to Mitzrayim because of his brothers, but rather because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'atalo atem shalachtem oti heina ki elokim, v'yisimeini la'av l'parol adon l'chol b'ito, Moshe b'chol eretz Mitzrayim. Maharu v'alu et avi, v'amartem elav ko amar b'incha Yosef, samani elokim la'adon l'chol Mitzrayim, redai lai al tamod. Yosef wants to see his father, and he wants to see his father quickly, right? And he tells everyone to hurry and bring Yaakov and the whole family down. Why? Pasuk Yud Aleph, what's the practical reason? V'chilkalti otcha sham, ki od chamesh shanim ra'av, pen tivaresh et b'itcha v'chol asher lach. What's the practical reason? What really brings, and then, I'm sorry, skip down all the way to the end of the perek, Pasuk Chavchet. V'yomer Yisrael Rav Od Yosef ben Yichai Elcha v'er'enu b'tar mamus. So there are really two practical reasons that bring Yosef, Yaakov down to Mitzrayim. What are they? Number one, there's no food, right? So number one, he'll starve. He and his family will starve and disappear if they don't go down to Mitzrayim. And of course, number two is Yosef, right? Yaakov Avinu wants to see his long lost son. And I'm sort of going to put the term running in quotation marks. I'm not sure that Yaakov actually runs to Mitzrayim. He seems to be carried down to Mitzrayim, which might make sense in a little bit. So let's talk pattern for a second. What's the pattern in Yaakov Avinu's life?
Running.
There, okay, good. What can we say, by the way, about all these reasons? It seems to be that Yaakov is passive, and what is happening to him? Like, what's common?